So for me, a perfect cheesesteak is a few things. I want ribbons of steak, not small pieces of minced-ish meat. I'm going to order mine with Whiz and with onions. And then I'm looking at the roll, too. I want a soft roll with a crispy, kind of like crumbly outside. When I hit the roll, it should crackle a little bit, but the inside should be super soft. And then also, does it taste good?
Hi, everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi, everyone. How are you? Are you self-distancing? Are you in quarantine? Are you avoiding group gatherings, hangouts, and other events like my family and I? I hope that things are well and that all of you are safe. I'm just glad you're all taking advantage of some of your downtime to learn English. This week, just like in the last 2 weeks, I've decided to keep the topic light. And what better way to do so than to talk about food? I'm not sure about you, but I've eaten better during this quarantine than I've ever eaten, I think, in my entire lifetime, at least in terms of home cooking. The reason being, my prenatal doctor told me I should only be going to the grocery store about once every 2 weeks. And with that in mind, I've actually been preparing meals better, looking up recipes, and pretty much cooking up a storm in the kitchen. And it's been fun to also research different types of food at this time. In that introduction, you heard a YouTuber from the channel Bon Appetit, and he talked about his idea of the ideal Philly cheesesteak. I'll provide the link to that video within the transcript. For those of you who aren't aware, a Philly cheesesteak is a warm sandwich and regional specialty from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Nowadays, it's not uncommon to see a Philly cheesesteak on a menu at any American restaurant, so I figured why not talk about the brief history of the cheesesteak and a lot of different adjectives for describing good and bad sandwiches. Before we get to the topic of the day, though, I'd like to tell you a joke, teach an expression, and do some pronunciation exercises. Let's start with that joke. Why did the baker punch the dough? Any ideas? To get a rise out of him. Do you get it? Dough is a mixture of ingredients used to make bread or pastry. Before baking, a baker will let the dough rise over a period of time. The rising process is when the yeast activates and the dough increases in size. Oftentimes during the rising process, a baker might punch the dough back, which releases some of the bubbles within the dough, further activates the yeast from my knowledge, and helps gluten form better. So what makes this joke funny is the other meaning of rise. To get a rise out of someone means to make someone react in an angry way. For example, a brother might intentionally hide all of his sister's dolls just to get a rise out of her, just to see her get angry. So with that joke, the baker might get a rise out of the dough by punching it back, right? It might increase in size, but he might actually see it react angrily. Let's hear that joke one more time. Why did the baker punch the dough? To get a rise out of him. Great. Let's move on to the expression of the day, which is on a roll. Let's go through the individual words first. On is a preposition. A book that is on the table is physically touching the table and being supported by the table from below. A is an indefinite article. I want a piece of cake. One piece, any piece will do. Roll, R-O-L-L, has a few definitions. A roll as a noun can be a small loaf of bread that is eaten by one person. I had a roll with ham and cheese for lunch, for example. We also have the verb to roll. Something that rolls or that is rolling turns over again and again on its axis. For example, the ball rolled down the hill. The expression to be on a roll means to have a period of success. When we are on a roll, we often don't want to stop whatever it is that we are doing because we're afraid that the successful period will come to an end. I'm on a roll is similar to the expressions I'm on a hot streak or I'm on fire. I'm doing really well. Example number one, imagine that you and a friend are in a casino and your friend is playing poker. In front of him, you see a pile of chips stacked high. By the look of it, he's been playing really well. When you ask him if he's ready to go home, he might respond, "No way, I'm on a roll." In other words, I'm having a period of success. The situation is going really well for me. I'm on a hot streak. I'm on fire. I'd like to stay a little longer. Example number two. Imagine that your friend invites you to be a wingwoman or a wingman for the night, and you agree because they recently had a bad breakup. While at the bar, you watch as this friend picks up on multiple people. And each time he or she is talking to that new person, you feel like the third wheel. After a while of boredom, you want to go home, but you want your friend to stay and have fun. You might say, "Hey, I think I'm going to go home, but you stay. You're on a roll." In other words, you're having a lot of success. The situation is going really well for you. Keep with it. You're on a roll. Example number three. While growing up at my parents' house, my family played the game show Jeopardy every night. My mom would often have hot streaks when she would yell out a number of correct answers in a row. Then she'd look sort of proud and say, "I'm on a roll." In other words, I'm having a period of success. The situation is going really well. I'm getting one question right after the other. That's it for the examples. Let's go through a pronunciation exercise. We'll begin with the question, "Were you on a roll?" Repeat after me. Were. Were you? Were you on a? Were you on a roll? Were you on a roll? In the conjugation, I was on a roll. You were on a roll. He was on a roll. She was on a roll. It was on a roll. We were on a roll. They were on a roll. Right? Because this is in the past tense, you almost want to know, okay, what happened? You were on a roll, but someone stopped you, or you had to go home, or what made this period of success end? Right, so let's move on to the topic of the day. Today, I'm happy to announce that we'll be talking about food. Although we briefly talked about the origin of pizza in the US in episode number 3, this will be the very first episode on a regional specialty, the Philly cheesesteak. For today's story, we'll head to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the famous Philly cheesesteak was invented. Philadelphia is a beautiful and walkable city. It's just an hour and a half bus ride from New York City, and it's packed with things to do. If you're into American history, it's where you'll find the famous Liberty Bell. You can visit Revolutionary War battle sites. You can see where the Declaration of Independence was signed, right, which declared the United States independence from Britain. and even jog up and down the 72 steps that lead to the Philadelphia Museum of Art, just like Sylvester Stallone did in the movie Rocky. One thing that you can't miss out on, of course, is the Philly cheesesteak. The traditional Philly cheesesteak, as we heard in the intro, consists of four things: a long, crispy Italian roll with a soft center, thinly sliced ribeye steak — ribeye is a cut of steak — grilled onions, and cheese, normally Cheese Whiz, which is a processed cheese sauce created by Kraft Foods. The original cheesesteak, however, had no cheese inside of it at all. Pat Olivieri and his brother Harry are widely recognized as the creators of the first cheesesteak sandwich. The brothers lived in South Philly in the 1930s. At that time, it was largely inhabited by Italian immigrant workers who needed to eat quickly and get back to work. For years, Pat and Harry sold cheap hot dogs and fish cakes from a push cart. One day, Pat, who was fed up with eating hot dogs for lunch, went to a local butcher shop. He got fresh steak, sliced it thinly, fried it up on his flat-top grill with some chopped onions, and threw it on a bun. The smell of grilled onions wafted through the air, and a cab driver, who was actually a regular at their pushcart, stopped to ask what he was making. The cabbie then proceeded to order the steak and onion sandwich and was floored by how good it was. The combination of seasoned, thinly sliced meat and grilled onions was off the hook. He told Pat and Harry that they should be selling the steak sandwiches instead of hot dogs and fish cakes, and then proceeded to tell all of his cabbie friends about how good that sandwich was. Pat and Harry's steak sandwiches were an instant success, and over time, they were able to save enough money to open a physical brick-and-mortar restaurant called Pat's King of Steaks. As years passed, cheese was added to the sandwich, although it's up for debate whether Pat's shop did it first or his rival across the street, Gino's. Either way, most cheesesteak locations agree to be an original, the sandwich needs Cheese Whiz, white American cheese, or provolone. Today, you can find cheesesteak shops all over Philadelphia, and although some have stuck to only serving the classic four main ingredients, the bread, the cheese, onions, and steak, other places offer mushrooms and pickled peppers. Some places allow you to get it hoagie style, which means that it comes with mayo, lettuce, and tomato. Pizza style, when it comes with tomato sauce and cheese. Or, surprisingly, even vegan. There are quite a few vegan cheesesteak restaurants in Philly. If you hop onto YouTube, you'll see plenty of videos about where to go in Philadelphia to get the best cheesesteak. In all of the videos, the host goes from joint to joint, orders a cheesesteak, feasts on camera, and then gives their critique. After watching about five of these videos, you'll start to see some overlaps when it comes to the best cheesesteaks in Philly. For one, there's D'Alessandro's, which is a family-owned cheesesteak and hoagie shop. Hoagie is the Philadelphia or Pennsylvania word for submarine sandwich or sub sandwich. And it's known for having finely chopped meat and mayo on the bun as an option. Then there's Tony Luke's and John's Roast Pork, which are sort of the classic cheesesteaks in Philadelphia and are very famous among locals and the tourists that go there. And then, of course, there's Pat's, which is still around, which even though had a little bit of harsher critique, most of the YouTubers that went there thought it's still a must-visit location just because it was the first restaurant in Philly. At the end of the day, food is subjective. While some insist on minced ribeye, others prefer their ribeye thinly sliced in ribbons. While some rave over big chunks of onions, others are grossed out by them and would prefer them chopped finely. Instead of just describing the cheesesteak as good or bad, yummy or gross, let's use some more descriptive adjectives to describe the elements of a cheesesteak. I promise you, you will be able to reuse these adjectives every day in your life. That is, if you eat and talk about food, which I'm guessing you do. Let's start with the bread. When you think about a good baguette that's warm and toasty from the oven, you probably would describe it as golden brown with a crispy crust and soft center. When you take a bite out of a crispy or crusty loaf, breadcrumbs will fall onto the table. The guy in the intro described the sound of biting into a crispy loaf like a crackle. The ideal cheesesteak for most is on a crispy or crusty roll. The reason is quite simple. If you have a soft crust, the liquid from the cheese and the meat might seep through and you'll end up with soggy bread and wet hands maybe, which can be a deal breaker for many. Soggy bread, which is unnecessarily wet, is often unappetizing and unpalatable unless it's found in a French dip sandwich or maybe a French onion soup. On the other end of the spectrum, if you end up at an unpopular cheesesteak restaurant, you might end up with stale bread, bread that has dried because it's old. It's not fresh. It's past its shelf life. Meat is one of the tricky aspects in the cheesesteak sandwich. Most people expect the meat to be well seasoned, yet not over seasoned, and moist, which when talking about meat means that the juice has been retained. It's a juicy steak. Tender meat melts in your mouth and can be finger licking good, which is a funny adjective to just say. It's good. It's worth licking your fingers. On the other hand, overcooked meat might end up chewy or dry. Sometimes people may complain that meat is too fatty and it's like chewing on rubber, or it's simply too greasy, making it inedible. Now let's move to the cheese. When speaking of cheese, we normally talk about it as if it were on a spectrum. All the way to one side, we have mild cheeses, which have either weak scents or weak flavors. They're not strong. Strong cheeses may be pungent, right? They have a punch to them, right? Or a kick with strong flavors or strong scents. On a cheesesteak, most places choose a mild cheese and steer away from bold, ripe, or sharp cheeses. Some people who are not big fans of cheese might consider these to be too aggressive and overpowering, and may consider them foul even or off-putting. A cheesesteak is not a cheesesteak without onions. Let's talk about onions. Although it's not a wonderful feeling to have your eyes water when you're cutting onions, not many people complain about having your mouth water from the smell of onions, right? When they're caramelizing in a frying pan. Even the smell of grilled onions is pretty appetizing for many. As we heard in the story, it enticed the cabbie from down the street. Raw or crunchy onions may not, of course, have the same effect in terms of smell. We might also describe the taste of a raw or crunchy onion to be pungent, right? It's extremely strong. All in all, cheesesteaks are filling, right? They fill you up. You'll certainly walk away feeling like you need to walk it off, or maybe that you even need to go on a diet. But anyway, I think it will be worth it. That's it for today's episode. Once again, I'm curious, have any of you ever had a Philly cheesesteak before? Do you have a favorite recipe or a favorite restaurant? I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to comment on the Instagram post for this week. You can find it at American English Podcast. Have a nice week and bon appetit. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, It's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.